can come into your house and that we can sing praises to you, Lord, and that we can take this moment now to just to sit at your feet and to hear your word, Lord. Lord, this is a powerful story, Lord, that we learn in vacation Bible school and Sunday school, but help us to see your truth in it, Lord. Lord, let it be nothing set up here that I've written or looked up, Lord, but it be all about you. Lord, speak to us, Lord, that we may walk in your truth. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us look a minute before we get into chapter 2, because chapter 2 and chapter 1 sort of overlay each other. Remember, chapter 1 was Joshua being commissioned by God. We've come once again to the edge of the promised land, and this time we're going to move into that promised land. So Joshua commissions God, and remember the three. Remember the three. The first one, be strong and courageous. Keep your eyes on him. Remember, it's God's strength, it's God's power that's going to do this. Be strong and courageous. Rule number two, do not go to the right or to the left from God's word. Meditate on it. Hide it in your heart. Obey every word of it. And then the final one, remember, no matter what, God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua is commissioned by God with these three main rules. And then Joshua goes, after he has been commissioned, he goes and commissions the people. It's time to go. And remember in chapter 1, he said, prepare yourselves, we're getting ready to go in 3 days. And we're like, why do we care about this 3 days? That's where part 2 comes in. That's what we're going to talk about today, because as Joshua is talking to these people, chapter 2 is happening. So we're going to look at that. If you would, look at chapter 2, verses 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shechem as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hid them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan, as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Now this is a very familiar story to us. We know the story of Jericho. We know how Rahab hides the spies go out, they come back, the walls fall down, and Rahab is saved. We know that story, but there's so much deeper than that. Rahab is so much deeper than just this small part. Let's look at Rahab a minute. Who is she? First, we know she's a prostitute. She's a well-known prostitute that we can assume that from this, because why do we know that? The king of Jericho calls for Rahab. There had to have been more than one there, but Rahab had the business. She was the top of the list. You wanted a good time? You went to Rahab's. So the king knows Rahab is the place to go. So they send for Rahab, and they said, these men have come to you. And we can assume because of her profession, she was also an outcast. She was a woman, which was a negative, but she's a prostitute, which makes her a bigger negative. So this prostitute outcast is our main character. Not only is she a prostitute and an outcast, but look at her. She's a non-Jewish citizen. Where are they going? These spies are going to Jericho to destroy Jericho. And they meet this woman living there named Rahab. So she's an enemy. She's a prostitute. She's an outcast. She's an enemy. But there are two good qualities about Rahab as well. As we delve further into chapter 2, we find out in verse 13 that she has a family. She has a father, a mother, a brother, some sisters, and probably some nephews, nieces, because it says those that are with them. So she has this family. Do they condone what she's doing? We don't know. But she does love her family. She cares about her family. And also, she is, although a prostitute, she's very loyal. Because think of that. Think about this a minute. We know what this story, how this story unfolds. Rahab has to keep a secret. We don't know how many days it takes between the spies leaving and the spies returning. But Rahab has to keep a secret. And as we go further into this, we're going to see that Rahab's secret is one that is right there in front of people's faces. And they're going to question. They're going to ask. But she keeps quiet. So we know that Rahab is a prostitute. We know that she is an outcast. She is an enemy. But she has a family. And that she's very, very loyal. And as I said, chapter 2 is the underlining going on as chapter 1 is happening. Because as we get into this, Joshua sends out spies 3 days. He sent these spies out. Also, as we get into this, we're going to find out that Jericho is shaking in their boots. The king, you can see, these men have come. They're spying out the land. Find them now. Bring them to me. Jericho is very, very nervous. And what does this go with? Remember Joshua's commission. God says, if you stick with the three, do the three things I've told you, here's what's going to happen to you. No man shall be able to stand against you. Jericho is this mighty city, a warrior city, and they're shaking in their boots. Verse 6, for you will cause this people to inherit the land. Remember Joshua's reputation. Everybody's going to know Joshua and the Israelites. Joshua and the Israelites. Joshua's reputation has gone before him. And then verse 8 of chapter 1, he says, I will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Just imagine. Think about it a minute. Joshua walks up to Jericho, bangs on the door, says, I'm here. You can surrender now or you can die in a minute. That king would probably throw his crown down and says, we give up. Chapter 1 is happening. See, the spies, they don't know all these things that God told them. But when they come back at the end of the chapter and they report to Joshua, here's what's happening. These people are scared to death and this and this. Joshua in his mind saying, wait, I remember what God told me. If I be strong and courageous, he's going to do this. He's promised me these things and it's already happening and we haven't even left. So we see chapter 1 and chapter 2 going together. Let's further look at Rahab a little bit deeper. Let's go to verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of Amorite who were before the Jordan, to Shion and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Look at Rahab a minute. This outcast, this prostitute, this person nobody likes. Notice what she says here. Did you catch what she said in verse 9? I know. She says, I know this is what's going to happen. What does it mean to know? It means to be aware. She is aware of what's coming. She is aware of a lot of things here. Rahab is not just somebody who is just there and like, oh, hi, I can help you. No, Rahab knows. What does she know? One, she knows the Lord has given the land. She knows defeat. As soon as she saw these spies, as soon as they spoke to each other and she realized they're Israelites, she knew that they were doomed. Because she knew the Lord had given the land to them. She knew that the fear of these people had come upon her own and of the others in the land because it says all the inhabitants of the land. You see, we look at this story and we assume that Jericho is sort of self-sustaining. But Jericho went out to Aya. Aya went to Jericho. Jericho went here. They went here. All of Canaan did business with each other. So the woman who can disappear in the shadows because nobody's paying attention to her, unless a man wants a good time, then he'll pay attention to her, she can be standing right here and hear a conversation. And she hears the people of the land in these different cities, in her own cities, talking about how these people are coming and they're going to destroy us just like they did. What are we going to do? We're going to have this meeting. You and me, your king, my king, we're going to get together and we're going to form this. There's only one way to do this. She knows. But how does she know? Verse 10, she knows because she heard. Her hearing turned into knowing. Her knowing turned into faith. What did she hear? She heard how a bunch of slaves somehow escaped Egypt. She heard how this bunch of slaves got stuck at the Red Sea and were going to die at the hands of the mightiest king there ever was. She heard how this sea just opened up and they crossed. And when Pharaoh tried, he was destroyed. She heard how this band of slaves came to a land and said, "We would like permission to cross over, please, instead of take the long way." And these two Amorite kings, these two mighty kings, said, "I don't think so. We're going to destroy you. You dare knock on our door?" And how this band of slaves was destroyed because their God did this. She heard the power of God. She had seen, she's heard what God can do. And what does she do? Her knowing causes her to react. While everyone else has heard these stories, they're running in fear. What do we do? How do we do this? But what does she say? She says one of the most important lines in this whole chapter. Verse 11. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." Did you catch the key phrase there? It's not God. It's not Lord. It's your God. Your God. But who is this God? Who is this your God? Who is it? It's Yahweh. Because if you look in the text, Lord is all capitals. When it's all capitals, it's referring to God's name. And we get this from Exodus 3:15, where God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" So it translates into the Hebrew, "The Lord" translates to Yahweh. So she is saying, Yahweh, your God, is the only God. But why does that make a difference? Remember, she's an enemy. She is saying to these two spies that this God that I've worshipped all my life, that I have sacrificed myself to, is worthless to your God because your God is the only God. I have no other gods. There is none above your God. He is the God of heaven. So she's denying all of her gods. And what does this lead to? See, Rahab is one of the few women to be named three different times in the New Testament. Rahab is mentioned in Hebrews 11:31 in the faith chapter when it says, "Because of Rahab's faith, she hid the spies." James, the brother of Jesus, who also was an apostle, in chapter 2, 24 and 25, speaks to the faith of Rahab. We're going to get to the third one in a minute. But three times, Rahab and her faith is mentioned in the New Testament. And what is her faith? See, her faith starts with hiding these spies. See, the king of Jericho calls for her and says, "This is what we know, where are they?" And she says, "I have no idea." She's lying to the king. What happens if these spies are found out? She's going to be killed. It's no sweat off the king's brow to kill her. One, she's a prostitute. Two, she's a woman. So what? I'll squish her like a bug. Who cares? But she's risking her life for these people that she knows their God is the God who will deliver and who will come and destroy her land, her city. So she hides these faith. Then what does she do? She hangs a red cord outside her window. Remember I said at the beginning that Rahab was loyal. As we read in the account, Rahab's, if you look at this wall here, imagine this is the outside of Jericho. We see this window, and on this outside window is a red cord. We know that's the prostitute's house, and as we're walking, why all of a sudden now does she have this red cord hanging outside of her window? Rahab, why is that there? What are you doing? Are you offering a special? What's going on here? And Rahab is quiet. She will not say why she has this red cord. She's made herself stick out because of this red cord. She's drawn attention to herself. But that's the power of the gospel. You see, 14 through 21 leads to this interaction between the spies and Rahab. And they make this agreement. They make an oath. And the end line is, hang this scarlet thread outside and I will know that this is your house and everyone inside will be protected. She's given salvation. She's given hope. Death is coming. She knows death is coming. And yet now she's found hope. She's found life. She's been saved. And not only does she hold this salvation to her for herself, but she says, wait, wait. What about my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all those that are with them? And the spy says, you bring them into your house, shut that door, and do not come out. And when we come, everyone that is in this house is under the protection of that red string. You step outside, your blood is on your hands. You are no longer under the protection of that red string. Does this sound familiar? See, these two spies know something that Rahab sort of doesn't know. Long ago, 40-some years ago, the Egyptians were in control. And this group of spies, this group of slaves were hiding out. Because for the last 10 days or so, these plagues have happened in Egypt. And now all of a sudden our leader has told us, go kill a lamb, put it on the doorpost, put it on the mantle, and stay inside because death is coming. And if you stay inside your house, when death comes, you will be spared. You step outside, your blood is on your hands. See, Rahab's account with this scarlet thread mirrors the Exodus account, the Passover account. So Rahab is saved. Verses 22 and 24 ends the chapter with the spies escaping and going back and telling Joshua all that has happened. But you see, it's not the end of the story. We jump later into chapter 6 and we learn a little bit more what happens to Rahab. And we know that Rahab is saved. Rahab is brought into the Israelite community. Rahab makes a commitment that Ruth would make later into words. In Ruth chapter 1, 16 and 17, Rahab lives these words where Ruth speaks them. Your God shall be my God, your people my people. She becomes an Israelite. Not only does she become an Israelite, but she marries a man named Solomon. We have no idea anything about Solomon, except he appears this one time. It is assumed through different sources and people guess, scholars guessing and all, that Solomon was probably one of those spies that she hid out. So they get married and they have a son whose name is Boaz. Boaz grows up. Boaz marries a woman named Ruth, who is also an enemy of Israel. They have a son named Jesse. Jesse grows up, Jesse gets married and has 7 sons. The youngest becomes the most famous of all the Israelites, David. And as we know, through the line, David has sons who has sons who has a daughter. And this daughter is out doing whatever she's doing, and the Holy Spirit comes to her, an angel comes to her and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will bear a son and you will call him Jesus. You see, God not only saves Rahab because of her faithfulness, but he includes her in his family tree. Not just the Israelite family tree, but his family tree. Jesus can look back through his generations and find a woman named Rahab who hid 2 spies. You see, I said her name is mentioned 3 times, Hebrew, James, and then Matthew. Matthew is the only genealogy account that puts women in the genealogy, and Rahab is one of those. You see, we have to ask ourselves by looking at Rahab here, do we have the faith of Rahab? Do we believe simply because we have heard? Remember verses 10 and 11. We have heard. We have heard how you crossed the Red Sea. We have heard how you destroyed 2 mighty kings. But here's the thing that we have to remember. That was 40 years ago. Rahab did not witness the Red Sea opening up. She did not witness the destruction of the Amorite kings. And as of this moment, the walls of Jericho were still standing. And yet she hears, she believes, because she just heard. She confessed with her mouth that the Hebrew God was the one true God. We look for signs like Thomas, and we cry out, I will not believe until I have seen. Show me something. But Scripture says time and time again that faith comes from hearing. See, in fact, Jesus even told Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Will we believe because we have heard? I know personally myself, I have mimicked Mark 9:24 where it says, Lord, help my unbelief. You see, we look at that sometimes and we're like, wait, we can't say that because then we don't look Christian, or wait, God's going to. But how many times did the disciples, Matthew, John, Peter, did Jesus look at them and say, just believe, guys. Just believe. See, Jesus wants us to cry that out, so He will help our unbelief. He wants us to say that. He's not going to punish us for it. He's going to bless us with it. I will help you. He never gave up on the disciples. And what did the disciples come? World changers. World changers. You see, Christ came that we might have hope. Rahab saw these spies as a moment that she was not forgotten. Remember, she was a prostitute. She was unloved. But she saw a moment that she was not forgotten. That there is hope for me. He came to give life. Rahab knew what God could do and sought a new life. And here's the part I think we kind of miss out on. You see, these two spies are making this deal with an enemy. They had no authority to be making this deal at all. In fact, you can almost see them in their minds playing this out. This woman's a prostitute. We know we've got the law of God. God's law says this is just wrong. What is she going to do when we bring her back? She's going to corrupt our men. You could see this sort of going on. But you know what they didn't do? They never judged her. They made an agreement with her. They didn't judge her. They said, yes, we will do this. And you know what? Christ has and continues to do the same. You see, I once heard it said that the world knows your name, but it calls you by your sin. Christ knows your sin, and He calls you by your name. When you came in this morning, you were given a red string. And I want you to take that string and I want you to put it somewhere that you will see it every day. Put it on your wrist, hang it on your car mirror. Use it to mark your Bible. Whatever you want to do with it. But I want you to put it somewhere that you will see that red string daily. And as you look at it, I want you to remember this promise that was made. I, Christ, came and took the punishment. The wrath that you deserved upon myself. I died on the cross and remained dead for 3 days. On the third day, I rose from the dead, defeating death once and for all. I came to bring you life, to bring you hope, to restore you to who I made you to be. I know your sin, your mistakes, the things you try to hide, and I still call you my heir, for it was my blood that set you free from condemnation, from fear, from death. In me, you are free indeed. And I give it to you freely. I give it to you because you are precious to me. Rahab, a prostitute, sings hymns of thanksgiving to the Most High God because she is a prostitute no longer, but is forever a child of God. Let us pray.